Good morning, and welcome once again to Studies in the Gospels, heard right here on the Gospel Radio Network. This is a weekly program where we look at the life of Christ as found in the four Gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And today, as we are continuing to study those events of the final week, we're going to look at Matthew chapter 21, verses 12 through 14, and the cleansing of the temple. And we're probably going to spend the next 2 weeks here, so I hope you'll stay with us today as we examine this. So let's get right into our study. Now, shortly after Jesus had made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem at the beginning of his final week, we find that Jesus entered the temple. Our text is Matthew 21, and now let's read verses 12 through 14. Then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer,' but you have made it a den of thieves." Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. Jesus was angered by the presence of the crooked money changers and the merchants that swindled the people. And so he drove them out. Jesus was angered that they had turned the house of God into a den of thieves. After cleansing the temple of these thieves, he then healed the blind and the lame that came to him in the temple. Now Jesus had already once earlier previously cleansed the temple. Let's recall that again from John chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves and the money changers doing business. When he had made a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overturned the tables. And he said to those who sold doves, "Take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise." Then his disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house has eaten me up." It had been 3 years since the previous incident, and at that time, Jesus had rebuked them for making the house of God a house of merchandise. So we find that in both cases, Jesus was angry because of their misuse of the temple. There is nothing wrong with buying and selling, but it was not the proper place nor the proper use of the temple. We must remember that our body is also the temple of the Lord. Are you using your body properly? Does your temple need cleansing? Are you even aware that your body is a temple? Your body, which is the temple of the Lord, just like the temple in Jerusalem, should be used to serve and praise God. If your body has been used to serve self first, then your temple also needs cleansing. Let's consider now these thoughts. First, your body is a temple. It is a temple for God to indwell. Your physical body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19 says, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own?" The indwelling of the Holy Spirit refers to the special relationship between you and the Holy Spirit. It is the relationship by which God strengthens you. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16 says that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. This is accomplished by the Spirit through the powerful Word of God, which the Spirit searched the mind of God for and delivered those things to us. It is the relationship by which we can deal with the power of sin. Romans 8, verses 11 through 13, "But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you." Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. We can accomplish this when we read and study the Spirit's message for us, make the application, and live by that word. Solomon, many centuries before, had realized that no physical temple building or dwelling could contain the omnipotent, omnipresent God. 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and verse 18. "But will God indeed dwell with men on the earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain you. How much less this temple which I have built?" And the same is true concerning the Holy Spirit. Notice the 139th Psalm, verses 7 through 12. "Where can I go from your Spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you." The unique presence of the Holy Spirit in the life of a Christian is such that it is certainly proper to speak of Him indwelling the Christian. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6 says, "And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father." What the Scripture says of the physical body is also said of the church as a whole. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16. "Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" But also, what is said of the church as a temple is also true of the body. The very next verse, 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 17, "If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are." When man defiles the temple of God, you can expect to incur the wrath of God, just as these thieves in our text today. The temple of God is to be a holy place. And yes, that includes your earthly tent. Now let's consider next a temple for devoted service to God. The temple in Jerusalem was supposed to be a place of prayer. In our text, verse 13 says, "And he said to them, It is written, My house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves." Consider 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verses 19 through 21 in the temple. "Yet regard the prayer of your servant and his supplication, O Lord my God, and listen to the cry and the prayer which your servant is praying before you, that your eyes may be opened toward this temple day and night, toward the place where you said you would put your name, that you may hear the prayer which your servant makes toward this place. And may you hear the supplications of your servant and of your people Israel when they pray toward this place. Hear from heaven your dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive." Your temple, including both body and mind, is to be devoted in service to God. We must understand that a temple, whether the Old Testament temple or the temple of our body today, it is a temple that can be abused. We have already seen how the temple in Jerusalem was abused. A place of prayer being turned into a marketplace. A place that needed to be cleansed once again, a second time. But we must understand that the same can be true for the temple of our bodies. We can become guilty of setting our affections on earthly things. We can begin to serve our bellies, our fleshly appetites, rather than Jesus. Consider Philippians chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things." In that state, we soon become unwilling to abide by the will of God. Notice Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 5. "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. We begin to present our bodies to that which it does not belong to. We begin to present ourselves to that which is sinful. Notice 1 Corinthians 6, beginning in verse 13. Foods for the stomach, and foods and the stomach for foods. But God will destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Worldly cares, riches, and pleasures of life begin to distract us from true service and hinder our ability to serve God with our bodies. Luke chapter 8 and verse 14 says, Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. So the question we ask today is, how is your temple? Does your temple need a deep cleansing? In other words, salvation. Or do you need a spring cleaning, perhaps a restoration or a rededication? We'll examine this question further next week. I hope you've enjoyed this time together. If the Lord wills, I look forward to seeing you again next week at this same time. Remember, this program will be replayed this evening at the same time and posted to the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website in a day or two. So until we meet again, this is Chris saying so long and have a great day.